When it comes to tapenades, spreads, sauces, and salsas, the possibilities for ingredients are endless. Open season for creativity in the kitchen. But because these things are part of something else, drizzled on an appetizer or accenting an entree, they often get overshadowed by the main event. So today on Central Standard, it's all about the dip. I'm Gina Kaufman, it's Food Friday. We'll hear from our food critics and you about the best dips and spreads in Kansas City, and meet a family that's been sharing hummus with Kansas City for 15 years. That's up ahead, but first, the news. While most of us are still asleep, Muhammad Hamid blends fresh ingredients together in a food processor to make his signature hummus. He's got garbanzo beans, lemon juice, garlic, and other spices. His wife, Jean, says the pungent garlicky smells wafting around a small kitchen this early in the morning can be too much for her. But for Muhammad, this is a dream job.
It's just wonderful to smell the fresh lemon juice, fresh garlic squeeze, fresh clean onion, parsley, cilantro, all the stuff will open your palate, your open your sinus, and make you wanna get up from bed and go to work.
In grocery stores all over the metro, you can find all of Muhammad's dips and spreads, 7 different flavors of hummus, 2 flavors of baba ganoush, olive tapenades, and a lentil dip. It's a family business.
And when you work with your lovely family, nothing better than that. So you're working with your family, and you're making a living, and you're having a good time. So all together. Win, 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 win.
This is Central Standard. It's Friday, and the food critics are here. We're dedicating today's show to dips and spreads. To be honest, for myself personally, the dips and spreads you slather on bread or drizzle over an entree can be the best part of a meal. They make the difference between a nice dining experience and something exquisite. But these accompaniments are never the main event, so they tend to go unrecognized. Well, not today. Very shortly, we'll ask our critics and you for the best dips and spreads in town. But first, we just heard from Muhammad Hamid. He makes Muhammad's hummus here in Kansas City by hand. Jean Cummings is Muhammad's wife and the owner of Oasis Food Products. Jean, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What were some of the sounds we were hearing in your kitchen just now? Is there a lot of machinery involved in your operation?
No. We blend the blender, and we have a machine that helps peel garlic, and we have a lemon juicer. And so, those are the 3 big machines. Other than that, it's actually our hands.
So it's pretty standard stuff people have in their own kitchens for the most part, too.
Yes, yes.
Let's back up a step or two in case there's anybody out there who's not super familiar with hummus. First of all, what is hummus? What are the essential ingredients?
Beans, garbanzo beans, fresh lemon juice, tahini, which is ground sesame seeds, fresh onions, garlic, and you blend it all together, and then you add your different spices and your other flavorings.
So I've had hummuses, things that have been called hummus anyway, that are based in, let's say, like lima beans. Would you consider those not truly hummus because they are not based in garbanzo beans?
I don't judge.
What do you know about the history of this dish? Is its role in the on the Middle Eastern table?
Yes. And Muhammad, who makes the hummus, is from Egypt. It is a traditional dish that I think everybody in the Middle East eats like we eat butter. It's just everybody makes it. They have it in their house. And everybody has the way they serve it. A lot of people will call it, hummus with tahini. Is how they refer to it, whereas we just call it hummus because we put the tahini in it, not on top of it.
Oh, so it's often traditionally kind of a hummus is separate from the tahini.
Yes.
Wow, I didn't know that. Break down the process for making a batch of hummus. What are the steps?
Number one, I'm never there, so So I hate to tell you, I don't really. He makes the juicing is ahead of time. Then they get the onions and the garlic. They put all of it together with the beans and blend it. And then after all that's and the spices are done, then he adds the tahini and stirs it in by hand. And then scoops, and literally scoops every tub by hand. I'd like to tell you after 17 years that we've progressed further than that, but we haven't. We still, for some reason, enjoy just, it's kind of an art. Doing it batch by batch.
There's something so personal about that. Just the idea that you're making even this large scale operation, doing it in the same way you would prepare it for your own family.
Right. And we still put on every lid. We still put every label on the lids by hand. When somebody called me yesterday from the station to remind me, I had my hand was stuck on a lid with a label and I was like, fighting with it, arguing with the label like that. Who was going to win there? Not me.
Probably the piece of paper with some adhesive stuff on
exactly.
the side.
Exactly.
Well, you have 7 different kinds of hummus, which indicates to me that there is just tons of room for experimentation in hummus. What are some of the best flavor combinations you've come up with while experimenting, and maybe some of the worst?
Well, we tried coffee hummus because we make the hummus in Broadway Roasting in the back of Fire Station 19. So the coffee was available, and we decided to try that once. And it was different. I don't know how. Let's just say I haven't packaged it yet.
Did it wake you up?
Yeah, there was. You did taste that.
It's maybe a morning hummus.
Exactly. I've tried... hummuses that I think are really good. The cucumber is really refreshing this time of year.
So you just add cucumber to the basic ingredients?
Well, we have a cucumber hummus, and I think he adds dill too, which would make sense.
You know? Those two go together great.
Exactly.
Well, what about, any worsts you're willing to share, or was the coffee as close as it comes?
No, if we've really had any that we failed, that we typically, I hate to say, I can't think of one.
How much time does making a batch of hummus take?
He goes in really early. He's there before 5 in the morning. So he does all his, when we go in at 8, he's been there for 3 hours preparing before we ever even get to where we're scooping the first one. So,
and the scooping is where you come into the process?
Well, yeah, we put the lids on and then we put the labels on.
How did you and Muhammad meet?
Oh, that was a long time ago. It was 1980, I think. Muhammad was a chef in a local restaurant, and they had gotten a write-up in the Kansas City Star, and my sister was waiting tables out front.
What was the restaurant?
It was called Al Rabay. And my sister needed some extra help. I was working for a judge at the time and asked me if I could help in the evenings, just doing salad in the kitchen. So I went in to help. And in the process, ended up going into restaurants, meeting Muhammad and changing everything.
How long have you guys been married?
31 years.
Had you made hummus yourself before your courtship with Muhammad?
No, I'm Irish Catholic, and so no, I hadn't had any of that food. It was just all an adventure.
Talk about the first time you got a window into the process, because if someone out there is listening who wants to venture into this, just to go back with you to the time when it was all new to you too.
When we first had, probably right when I first started working with them is when I first tasted the hummus. And back then it was just an original hummus. It wasn't what we would call our original. It's a garlic hummus. And they'd always put like olives on top, maybe some tomatoes, maybe some chopped onions, and you would dip it with pita bread. Over time, I think the American version of hummus added all of the roasted red peppers or added the spicy peppers. And my brother-in-law, John, that's does farming, had a whole bunch of extra peppers. My sister brought them over and said, well, try these in the hummus. And, you know, that's how our things came about.
So it really is a marriage of your, I mean, that you've got the farming
the whole family
bringing their produce and incorporating that into your recipes. That's really cool.
Oh, yes. My dad for years went with me to make deliveries. And he would eat the hummus and he'd try it and he'd go, you know, this really isn't too bad. But in the beginning, he was from Ireland. So it's not something he was ever accustomed to. And he didn't start having hummus till after he was 65. So, you know, after 65 years of eating different food, the texture was different. And he got to where he really liked it in the end.
When did you guys come up with the idea of making hummus for a living and not just for yourselves?
We had some bad luck. We were in restaurants and had a very good run in restaurants. We're really successful and then just had bad luck. And I decided, I was looking, one of my nieces, who, you know, is a grown adult mother now, said at the time, you know, this hummus that she was eating, this hummus sucks. You should try making some of your own. And I thought, oh, I could do that. I had gone to school.
Do you recognize the market for it?
Right. I had gone to school for, you know, my education was in food. It wasn't just in restaurants. And so I applied my education and figured out how I would do it and went to the restaurant and said, Mohammed, I'm going to start making hummus. He was like, okay, whatever.
What were the early days like when you were first trying to get your stuff into grocery stores? And hummus, at this point, I'm guessing it was not quite the, I don't know, common dish that it is now.
Right. It was 1998, 1999. I had a friend that I knew from school who had a grocery store. And so they were willing to let me try it. And literally my first order were 6 tubs of hummus. And I would stand there on the weekends and do demo after demo. So, and people would ask me. And I'd go into a long explanation of what hummus was. And one of my girlfriends from Texas said, you know, Jeannie, if you put it in a can and put Frito-Lay on it, it'd just be the same thing. And it's not the same thing. But it was just the point. I was being too lengthy. I needed to just say, it's a bean dip. And let people try it and then see if they liked it. And so you learn as you go. You figure out what's going to work and what will go well with it. And people, my customers are who tell me what they do with the hummus. You know, like they've used it on pasta for a sauce. I would never have thought to take, but she said, oh, I had roasted red pepper hummus in the fridge and I had pasta boiling. I thought, I'm going to put that in there. And she added some vegetables and had a meal.
Have you tried that since then?
I have tried it since then.
What do you think?
It's good. It's good.
Are people around here still learning about hummus?
I would think yes. I think that there's always people that don't know what it is and always that are willing to try it.
You have 7 types of hummus, 2 types of baba ganoush, and 4 other kinds of dips. I want you to be honest now. What is your favorite? I won't let you tell me that they're like your children and you love them all the same. I demand a favorite.
I don't have a favorite.
Even if I demand one.
Right. Even if you demand one. You can ask my children. I love them both. I might like certain things about their characters different. Like the cucumber hummus I love when I'm eating it as a vegetable dip. Or the tzatziki I think is fabulous if I use it on top of a salad as a salad dressing, or I like to use the black olive hummus with a baguette. I like to make deviled eggs. So I'll scoop out the yolk and try to do it fast and put hummus in there.
So let's just pretend you're hosting a dinner party this weekend. Give us a couple of ideas for a dish that you could make that highlights one of your dips in an unexpected way.
Earlier today, we made a chicken salad and we used curry hummus as the binding agent. We added some feta cheese to it and we added some chopped olives. And it was really good and it's just really different.
So you recommend turning that curry hummus, which is an unexpected combination in and of itself, to make a chicken salad.
Exactly.
pita bread is sort of the go-to vehicle for getting hummus and baba ganoush and things like that from the plate to your mouth. But are there other more creative ideas for what you can use to fill that basic purpose?
I always say if you have the basics in your fridge of vegetables, if you have some leftover rice or leftover noodles, then you literally can take a burrito and make a dinner out of it. Because you can take the hummus, throw on the rice, add the vegetables, and you've got a meal.
Jean Cummings, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing your story and your delicious hummus with Kansas City. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
Jean Cummings is the owner of Oasis Food Products, which makes Muhammad's hummus. Kansas City, what are your favorite dips and spreads? We can keep talking about hummus, but don't forget mustard, salsas, aiolis. Call 816-235-2888. We'll be right back. You're listening to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and yes, we all dip. We're now joined by our food critics for more on dips and spreads. You can join the conversation at 816-235-2888. Charles Ferruza of The Pitch, good morning.
Good morning.
Mary Block, food blogger at Around the Block, hello to you.
Hi, Gina, how are you?
Good. And Bon Juing Lee, also known as the Ulterior Epicure. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All restaurants have dips and spreads, but we're hoping to get beyond Heinz products and ranch dressing. Not that there's anything wrong with those. Tell us about something exceptional. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. Or chime in on Twitter. We're at KCURCST. So I want to go around the table. When you guys first heard we were going to explore this topic, how did you feel about it? What are the thoughts that come to mind, the questions that come to mind about dips and spreads?
Well, my immediate reaction was, you know, dips and spreads would, I think, mostly fall into the condiment category, but not all condiments are dips and spreads. I mean, I don't know that I would call ranch dressing a dip, but it is. And you were talking about chutneys, and chutneys can be a spread or a dip, I suppose, but they're a classic condiment. I think condiment's sort of an umbrella term, and some dips and spreads fall into it, and others don't, because I'm only speaking for myself, but I don't think I would want to use Kraft mustard as a dip. Unless maybe for bratwurst, I might, yeah. So it's confusing.
You know, we used to think about dips and it was just the basic French onion dip or the spinach artichoke dip. But now there are so many more, especially if you include salsas. And spreads on sandwiches are such a big thing now in all different flavors.
What kinds of spreads do you think of for sandwiches?
Well, there are a lot of aiolis that are flavored with either basil or sun-dried tomato or bacon.
But Mary, those are condiments in the sense that you wouldn't have a sandwich with just aioli on it. Maybe you would. You're fussy that way. But aioli is a condiment where when I think of a spread, a sandwich spread, I think of either hummus or ham salad or something more substantial.
Or pimento cheese.
Yes.
Yes.
Bon Juing, what are you thinking about?
Well, when I first saw the subject come up, I felt messy because that's what I think of when I think of dips and spreads. It's a messy affair, not in a bad way. But
Bajwe, I think you're right. I think that's why kids like them so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I mean, you can do whatever you want with them. I mean, going back to dips and spreads, I mean, the classic childhood peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it's a spread, right? I mean, those are two spreads that can also be condiments, but they, you know, you eat the sandwich primarily because it's peanut butter and jelly. That's all that's in it, so.
Mary prefers it with aioli.
Are there foods that you find yourself ordering just so you can taste the dip? Like for me, after we have this conversation, there's no way I'm going to be able to not make an artichoke just to be able to eat garlicky lemon butter with some herbs in it.
Well.
Foods you order just as an excuse to scoop up some dip?
Well, sure. I mean, any Mexican restaurant, the first thing you get is chips and salsa, and then there's guacamole, and that's a very... It's one thing that comes to mind.
And then they're French fries, so you can dip it in ketchup.
French fries, are the classic American item you use to be dipped.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it used to be just ketchup, but, you know, ketchup is so boring any day.
You know? But, you know, in some countries, they dip French fries in aioli.
Yeah, they do.
They do here, too.
And mayonnaise.
Or vinegar.
And my kids dip their French fries in barbecue sauce.
Oh, yeah,
and they laugh at me when I still want ketchup at Oklahoma
Joe's. And actually,
Joe's.
The fact that something that came up to me when I was thinking about it, and it's a little far-fetched as a dip because it's not actually a dip, but sometimes when I go to barbecue restaurants, I will dip the fries in the beans. But it's not a dip. I mean, you're not supposed to eat it as a dip. But sometimes
I suppose anything
is
a dip when you use it as a dip.
Yeah, sure. Yes.
So
we could get really creative with this here, and I want to extend that invitation to our callers as well. Do you guys agree with the premise that dips and spreads get kind of sided, you know, like overlooked and underappreciated for the role they play in making a meal or a snack what it is?
Well, it's certainly not the starring role in any meal. It's not even a side dish.
I don't know about that. What about a fondue? That is a whole meal that's premised on dipping.
That is true.
There are exceptions, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right. I think for the most part, dips are like snacks. Whereas I think spreads are more of a meal. Like, you know, you would spread like a liverwurst sandwich or a pimento cheese sandwich.
I got to tell you, though, I'm going to just put it out there. I don't consider fondue to be a meal. I consider it to be a novelty. But some people, you know, like it. It's a great party food.
And some spreads you could make a meal. Like the spreads at Lydia's that they bring just before the meal to,
Mary,
you know, eat.
You could make it a meal. I could not.
If you saw how much of that those spreads I eat, Charles.
Right, so, but like the olive tapenade and things like that?
Well, they've got a white bean hummus and the olive spread.
Well, we've got some callers who I want to turn to. They've called 816-235-2888. Once we've heard a couple of their reviews, I'll get some of our critics' reviews too. Their favorite dips and spreads in Kansas City. Let's talk to Hannah in Kansas City. Hi.
Hi. I wanted to tune in, chime in about some dips that are my favorite in KC. And there's a store off of 25th and Holmes. It's called Chips and Dips. And they have this really good dip. It's called the Chin Chilies and Garlic Dip. And I pair it with their chips, their pita chips that they make. They have a gluten-free option, which is amazing. I believe it's like a cream cheese base, and then it has that spiciness to it with some chilies, and I dip my fries in that too.
No, wait, where? What is the name of this place?
It's called Chips and Dips.
Chips and Dips, okay.
And so it sounds like that's in downtown Kansas City. Well, thanks for calling, Hannah.
No problem.
So that's it sounds like a whole store dedicated to chips and dips. The chip is a popular vehicle for dips. Can we discuss the chip and dip combo here?
Well, remember once upon a time that the only kind of chip there was potato and which, you know, I still love, but I think corn chips and pita chips and
tortilla chips
and vegetable chips. And they've all sort of taken a lot of the potatoes chips thunder.
Interesting. Well, you can create a chip that forms a little divot for the sauce, which just seems incredibly convenient.
Yeah, they have the scoop chips that are formed just for maximum scooping and dipping.
And plantains, which are hard enough to stand up to.
I love plantains, yeah.
Anyone here brave enough to just forgo the middleman, forgo the vehicle, and just scoop
start
up
spooning
some sauce?
It. You still need some vehicle. Which, you know, you brought it up that it's a party item. Someone said it was a party item, which I find kind of interesting that it is a party item because it is a communal, it's a communal bowl of food that you are all, you know, dipping into. So, you know, obviously, you know, there's a social etiquette of no double dipping, right? But what about
crowding the bowl? That seems like another dip etiquette issue.
That's a major problem, mostly when people are standing up and they tend to crowd the bowl. So just avoid cocktail parties for that. But but the double dipping thing is a form of etiquette that it's amazing how few people, you know,
mind
practice.
It. Yeah, that's true.
Can you turn the, like, say you've got some bread and you've dipped one side of it. Can you dip another side to return?
I think it's actually better just to spoon some on a plate and take it from that approach.
But there are no germs involved, Gina, so I would say yes.
Yes, or I, you know what I would do? I would just tear the piece that I want to dip off the bread and then just...
Which is harder to do if you've got a chip, but...
Yeah, it is.
Well, there you have it. Let's talk to Claire in Kansas City. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Gina. I wanted to call and highlight Crumbs Heirlooms. They're a local farm in Kansas City, and they produce a ketchup and also a salsa. And I at Broadway Butcher Shop. I believe they may also have it available at the Sundry, but they're both really great. The salsa is not too hot. It's something that you can just eat way too much of if you're not careful. And a moment ago, you mentioned ketchups and how they can be sometimes boring, and I'd like to say that this one is very not boring. It's not your average ketchup. It's really a great alternative.
So I think to test whether this is a dip or spread or merely a condiment, is this ketchup that you would spread onto, say, some toast with no other toppings?
You definitely could do that, but it is equally good on some home fries.
Home fries. Okay, well, so, and I assume that since it's coming from Crumbs Heirlooms, that it's made from heirloom tomatoes?
They're mixed in there. These are family recipes that they're using.
Thanks so much for the call, Claire.
Thank you.
So, has anyone tried the Crumbs Heirlooms salsas and ketchups?
I've had the salsas.
Yeah, I never had the ketchup, but it's hard for me to imagine a ketchup not being boring, because ketchup, I found, and McDonald's had a lot to do with this, ketchup is such a sweet condiment. And the sweetness, I think, is such a dominating flavor that who wants it?
But in the last 5 years, homemade ketchups are really big. You know, Blanc started doing that, and BRGR, and now so many places
do their
own. Yeah,
it still tastes like sweet tomatoes, but okay.
There, we got a call from Linda in Kansas City who wants to talk to us about something that I'm afraid I might mispronounce. It's called taramasalata.
Taramasalata, yeah.
That sounds better. She says it's a Greek creamy dip made with fish roe, and she thinks she had it years ago in Kansas City at a defunct Greek restaurant. It's
delicious.
Oh,
the one I used to work in, yes.
Where can you still find it somewhere?
I'm sure you
can.
I'm sure you can.
I've seen it on every Greek restaurant I've ever been to has it on the menu.
Not so much here, because we don't have that many Greek restaurants, but it tends to be an expensive, it's not a dip. Well, maybe I guess you could call it a dip. It's salty and it's expensive because of the fish roe. And I wouldn't, you know, use it for chips.
No.
It could be used as a dip, but I don't know what do Greek people dip in it? I've always used it as a spread more.
Yeah. Most people do.
Maybe describe what it is and how it's made.
Well, it's sort of a creamy, smooth, fishy tasting somewhat in the best possible way. Condiment. I'm trying to think. I guess we served it with pita bread at that unnamed Greek restaurant where I worked for many years. And it's not as popular as hummus, of course, or
baba ganoush.
But it's lovely, and it's a really wonderful condiment with fish.
What strikes me strangely about it is it's extremely light. It's almost as if it's been whipped. It's not quite like whipped cream, but it's extremely light and fluffy and creamy and
I'm happy
and
to
soft.
Say I've never had a fluffy version, but it is a creamy.
It's very, very, sauce. Yeah.
Well, that sounds pleasant. Do you find that to be a positive thing, that it's this lighter dip?
Yeah, except every time I have it, I'm like, how did they make this? So I don't know how it's made. But and you can also see the fish roe in it. It's the tiny little orange, you know,
it's sort
eggs.
Of an orangey color.
Yeah, it's a little, yeah. Yeah, it's pastel orange, I guess.
So that's a Greek dip called
taramasalata.
And if any of our listeners know where to find that, call 816-235-2888. Now, we're going to get some of our critics' reviews. Let's give our listeners a sense of the kinds of things we're looking for. Charles, what are some of your favorite dips or spreads in town? Maybe just start with one favorite.
Well, I'm a big fan of the made-to-order guacamole at the El Camino Royale on 7th Street, 903 7th Street Trafficway in KCK, because it is so fresh-tasting, because they make it when you order it. And the problem with guacamole is you tend to eat too many chips, and that's, you know, my undoing. But it's a very fresh-tasting guacamole, and there's not, a ton of stuff in it, which I'm, opposed to.
You're opposed to stuff in your guacamole. Well, so you're recommending El Camino Real in Kansas City, Kansas, for guacamole. Let's discuss guacamole a little bit, guys. It's pretty simple ingredients, a pretty straightforward process to make it, but it does seem like subtle differences can make or break a guacamole.
Yeah, I actually remember one time I was in Mexico City and I went to a restaurant that was making traditional guacamole that came to your table. They made it there. What struck me about that one was that there was no acid in it. Usually they put a little bit of either lime juice or something in there, not to only preserve the color, but to give it. But there
so
was
you don't
no,
get browning avocados.
Right, but there was no acid added to this. And it was probably one of the most delicious. It was so simple. It was just avocado, salt, I think just a little bit of chopped onion and cilantro, and that was it. And that was one of the best ones I've
That's
ever
as
had.
Much stuff as I want in a guacamole.
You like it minimal too?
Yeah. But I do like a little lemon juice. I think it gives it a little oomph.
And I like it with jalapeno too. But you know, the New York Times got skewered last week because had a recipe that included peas in the guacamole. And even Obama came out and said, no peas in guacamole.
So this is a matter of presidential concern.
I don't think I've ever seen guacamole that had peas in it.
ABC Kitchen in New York does it. And I think that's where it got its fame.
Well, Mary, what is one of your favorite places for a dip or spread in a Kansas City restaurant?
I briefly alluded to the ones at Lydia's. They come on a small plate, and they're two scoops. One is a white bean dip with olives, and the other is more of a traditional hummus, although it's made with a lot of basil. And it's sitting in a pool of olive oil, and it comes with a basket of bread, and you just slather it on. And I have a hard time not just taking the bread and putting it right in the olive oil and dips at the same time.
It sounds like presentation is a big part of this. Can you elaborate a little more on the presentation?
Well, if you picture two small scoops like ice cream scoops, and they're side by side, and they're sitting in a
I'd call
pool
them
of,
more melon scoops. But okay.
But mini ice cream scoops, and they're sitting in a pool of olive oil.
And so do you think that presentation as part of one of, because the process and ritual of dipping, I feel like lends itself to also maybe a slightly, I don't know, like a special kind of presentation, because this is, dipping is an activity, as is spreading.
That's true. Well, you know, most of the dips that you share, anything you make, you want to have it look good. And certainly at Lydia's, it's very appealing when it comes to the table. Everybody,
it's very elegant presentation.
It is, yeah.
So that's the white bean dip with olives and a traditional hummus made with basil presented at Lydia's in the Freight House District.
Exactly. You've got to have the bread basket to go with it.
Bonjuing, what's one of your favorites?
Well, since they both mentioned a dip, I will mention a spread, which I've actually mentioned twice already because I kind of love it. It's pimento cheese. And in the South, for those of you who don't know what pimento cheese is, it is it's basically cheddar cheese or some kind of yellow cheese chopped together with cream cheese and bound with mayonnaise. Not a slimming thing to have. And then also, of course, there are pimento, the little red peppers that are chopped in with it. That's where it gets its name. But it's very popular in the South. And
it's not really a peppery dip. It's
no,
kind of
it's
mild.
Much more of a cheesy. Yeah, it's much more of a creamy, cheesy dip. The Southerners, my friends in the South, call it the caviar of the South. And in the South, they put it on sandwiches. They'll eat it. I mean, it's a spread. You can spread it on crackers at parties. Whatever.
But don't you think that most Midwesterners, yourself included, grew up with the little Kraft pimento?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The ones that you would find at parties, and they would crust them in chopped pecans, right? All right,
yes.
Little balls, yeah.
Well, and I don't know if my mother, who certainly wasn't a very good cook, but probably did what all of our mothers did, which was put it on celery sticks.
Oh, sure, yeah. Well, you can
and
find
the Kraft
it.
Stuff spreads so beautifully.
But you can find it in two places in Kansas City that I know of, and I know Charles has a third place. But they have a grilled pimento cheese sandwich at Happy Gillis right now on the menu. And you can also find it on the, I think it's on the cheese plate at Julep, the cocktail bar down in Westport.
So Julep or Happy Gillis for Bonjuingly certified pimento cheese.
The one thing about the Kraft cheese that's spreadable is it's pretty homogenous. It's a straight orange colored spread.
It tastes just like cream cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no flavor to it.
Yeah, right. But the pimento cheese that I'm talking about is actually chunky because it's actually chopped. It's chopped cheese that's bound together with mayonnaise.
Well, just like the one I was saying that is served at a Char Bar. Char Bar has a pimento cheese sandwich. It's actually quite good. And it's also served on toast.
Now, describe the one at Char Bar and how it might differ from the other ones. Three places. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm afraid I cannot comment on the other two that Bonjuing mentioned. But Char Bar, it tastes very much like the kind of sandwich that your mom might make for you when you were ill in bed with the flu. You know, it's kind of mild and laid back. It's a little bit spicy, not too much, but it's very chunky.
It's chunky. Yeah. So it is a chop.
It cracks me up that like something that you eat when you have the flu is a positive recommendation.
Well, it was better.
Makes you feel
it's
better.
Comforting. Like
yeah.
chicken.
Yeah,
chicken
yeah. Soup. I mean, you know, it's better than the crackers I would normally get. Yeah.
Before we abandon cheese, I want to talk about this trend of pretzels and cheese becoming a pretty standard appetizer item on menus. I love that, but for how much it costs when you get it at a restaurant, I feel like the cheese and the mustard had better be pretty special. Is there any place in town using really nice cheeses and cheese dips?
Q39 does one with tall grass beer, and it's you dip it with the pretzels.
The
and
beer is in the cheese.
The beer is in the cheese. It's cooked with it. And
again,
same
taking
with,
out the middleman.
Yep. And then also the Beer Kitchen does one too with smoked Gouda and beer mustard.
Whoa.
That sounds really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And any place you're getting to this, but really good dipping mustards in town?
I remember House used to have a lot of different mustards.
Because they had sausages, yeah.
Right.
Central Standard will be right back. Call us and tell us about your favorite dips and spreads in Kansas City. They run the gamut from salsas and guacamoles to mustards and chutneys. 816-235-2888. We'll be getting right to you when we return. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. Welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman here with Bonjuing Lee, Mary Block, and Charles Feruza. We're talking about dips and spreads on Kansas City menus. We don't think of them as the main attraction because they are intended to go with something else. They do not stand alone, but they are awesome a lot of the time. And so we're talking about that now. Call 816-235-2888. If there's something that you are willing to order an entire dish just to taste that sauce or that spread or that dip. That's 816-235-2888. And Charles, what's one of your other recommendations?
Well, sort of on that note of ordering something just to taste the sauces, I rarely order breaded calamari for a couple of reasons. One, you know, it could be just deep fried rubber bands for as, you know, untasty as it is. But if they have interesting sauces, and very few times they do, but the Piropos, the Argentinian restaurant at 4141 North Mulberry Drive, it does have breaded calamari that's served with cilantro pesto aioli that's delicious, and a lemon tomato sauce, also delicious. And it's worth, you know, sometimes I order that dish just so I could have those sauces and eat it with bread.
That, okay, so we've got two kinds of things here. We've got pestos.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, well, three. We've got pestos, we've got aiolis, and we've got tomato sauces. These are three of the greats, I think.
Oh, I do too. I do too. And I love pesto. And I think it's one of the lesser appreciated sauces for anything.
Pesto, it seems like, too, it's traditionally basil, right? But it seems like anything leafy is now fair game.
And not on all the other two here weigh in on that. But I think not everything leafy really weighs itself to a good pesto. Cilantro's okay.
Cilantro, people are doing kale now.
I've seen nettle. I've seen spinach.
Arugula pesto is great.
Yeah, because you know why? It has on its own a nice spicy quality where I find kale to be the world's most boring leafy green. And I don't want a kale pesto.
And I've also seen other nuts other than pine nuts. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, it's pine nuts, but I've seen everything. Walnuts. Yeah.
Well, everything. That's because pine nuts are so expensive.
Pecans.
Pecans are good. Yeah.
So Charles has recommended Piropos in Briarcliff for a good pesto. Any other pesto recommendations?
I don't necessarily think of pesto as a dip or spread. I think of
it's great as both.
It can certainly it can be used. I just have never thought of using it as a dip, but maybe I should.
Maybe you should.
I should.
Well, I see it more as a condiment sort of thing on a sandwich.
I was going to say, yeah. People spread pesto
on
sandwiches.
Yeah, that's true. I've seen it
on
sandwiches. That is true. You're
same
right.
Same with an aioli.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mary, give us another recommendation.
I love the salsas at Port Fonda. They're homemade, and there's a red and a green, and they've got really great chips to dip them in. And unlike a lot of the traditional Mexican restaurants, they do charge for the salsas, but that's because they're really well homemade, great ingredients, and definitely worth it.
And let me tell you, if you're going to a Mexican restaurant and they don't charge for their salsas, that means they're coming out of a can. almost invariably. And if they taste like they came out of a can, they probably have.
So, Charles, talk to us about etiquette around salsas, because often they do come for free. Maybe they do come out of a can, but is there etiquette around eating this stuff in Mexican restaurants?
Well, have you noticed, as I have, that more and more Mexican restaurants, are giving individual little bowls or monkey dishes of salsa, so you don't really have to share it?
Well, and a lot of times,
solving the double dipping issue,
they're saying first basket free. If you want more, you pay for it.
Yeah.
So, Mary, you're recommending Port Fonda's salsas. Anything else you want to say about those before we hear Bonjwing's next recommendation?
No, but you can put them not just with the chips, but it's great with all the dishes, too.
Bonjwing, what's your next recommendation?
Well, I was going to actually talk about the queso fundidos at Port Fonda. It's just a warm, cheesy dip. But since you mentioned pesto, I did think of another great recommendation for pesto in Kansas City. And I take back my comment about not thinking of pesto, because this is an instance.
He takes it back, ladies and gentlemen.
I do, because this pesto here is used as a spread on a sandwich. It's at this new bakery called Heirloom Hearth and Bakery. It's in Brookside. I think it's on 63rd Street.
63rd and
the
Oak,
new right? East, yeah. East Brookside area.
Right. And they have this terrific cheddar cheese biscuit that you can order as a breakfast sandwich. And they give you all these options of what you can fill it with. And I think the one time I had it, I just had it with bacon and pesto. And their pesto is really good.
It sounds delicious.
It's delicious, especially on that sandwich.
Do they have other spreads, Bonjwing?
They do. And in fact, I was going to say they also do these things where you can order sliced bread. And they have some really interesting spreads that you can order with the bread. They just toast the bread, and you can have, I think the one is like a chocolate hazelnut sea salt spread, different spreads like that. One spread that I haven't seen yet pop up in Kansas City, but I've seen it all over the world, and it's very popular now. It's started by the Australians. I think you know what it is, Mary, because you're nodding. It's avocado toast. Have you seen avocado toast anywhere in Kansas City?
No.
Explain what you mean. Are you just talking about avocado on toast?
Well, pretty much.
That is something I eat at home.
Variations. Yeah, sure. But I think it was popularized by the Australians. It's a very popular Australian cafe snack item. But I've seen it all over the world now because they're kind of...
But what is it?
It is toast. It's toast that is... it's just toasted bread. And then what they do is they'll oftentimes mash... It's like guacamole spread on bread is essentially what it is.
Well, so we're looking for that, but you've just recommended Heirloom Bakery and Hearth in East Brookside. Now let's talk to our callers. We've got Sharon in Kansas City on the line. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. This isn't so much a recommendation, I guess, for restaurants, though there are some adaptations, but I'm a no-added-fat, no-added-salt vegetarian, and so when I make a dip, I usually use fat-free yogurt, Greek yogurt. And then I really just kind of add whatever I have in my refrigerator, salsa or any of the tomato base.
So you use the leftover soup kind of approach in your sauce and dip making.
Right, uh-huh, yeah. And I look for the lowest sodium and fat crackers or now and then chips, but usually chips have, even if they say low salt, they have... or fat. They have quite a bit of salt and fat.
Well, thanks so much for that call, Sharon. So Sharon's got some tips for making your own and scrounging around your kitchen and even maybe having a slightly healthier dip. Let's talk with Michael. Michael's in Ottawa. Hi, Michael.
Hi. I take barbecue sauce, and I get bored with any one kind, and mix different sauces so I don't get bored as a condiment. And one good mixture is Arthur Bryant's original and Walmart's World Market Salsa Verde.
So you like mixing those up?
Yeah. I'm a cheap and easy cook. And, I'll do that kind of thing. Another use of curry is ramen noodles, kippered herring, and curry.
Goodness gracious, Michael. That is a bold experiment, and we really appreciate you sharing that with us. Let's talk now with Ethan in Osceola. Hi, Ethan.
Hi. I was calling. My favorite thing to dip is the bread at Pot Pie and the sauce that comes with their mussels.
Tell us about it.
They make the mussels with like a white wine and butter and garlic sauce, and you always get a basket of bread. So the great way to, and the mussels are great, but the bread with the sauce is great as well.
So it sounds like in some ways you order the mussels because of the everything it's kind of swimming in.
Yeah, that's kind of my favorite part of the whole thing.
So that's pot pie in Westport. Thanks for that call, Ethan.
You're welcome.
Anyone else have a dish like that where it's sort of...
I was going to ask Bonjouin because he's sort of our resident blue stem expert because he worked on that cookbook. But Colby used to have a mussel dish. I remember it from the brunch menu that was very unusual because I think it had maybe some kind of apple component, apple cider or apple something that was unusual. It was, I wish I could remember how it was.
I don't remember apple in it. I know what you're talking about. He did have a mussel dish on the bar side of the menu.
No, this was in the...
It was in the
dining
menu.
Room, in the brunch menu. And I don't eat mussels anymore. I've developed an allergy to them. So, but sometimes when friends of mine order the mussels, I'm so tempted.
Yeah, just to dip your
this
bread
this particular dish, I think, had a touch of anise in it as well. How could you write this cookbook and not know this?
I don't
this?
Know
but,
that one.
But it was...
Was
it
this was, early on? In,
early on, okay. Yes. And
that might have been when Dave Crum was cooking the brunch there, and he did some really creative...
But people do love, a good mussel dish with an excellent sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some baguette, absolutely. Yes.
Dunk in there.
Yes.
Margaret in Liberty, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What's your recommendation?
Well, there were a couple things that got me thinking when I was listening to you guys. The first thing, a woman recommended the Chips and Dips restaurant downtown, and I've actually known that that restaurant is owned by the same people that own Yummy's Choice, which doesn't have a location that they sell out of, but they sell in the grocery stores around Kansas City, and I get their stuff all the time. It's mostly hummus and like falafel. It's very homemade, kind of like what you had at the very beginning of the segment. So people are looking for that. But what I would love to hear the critics talk about, if they've had it, is at McCoy's, they have this great chicken and waffles dish, and I think they might still have it on their brunch menu, but it's served with a jalapeno gravy on top of it, which I guess would somewhat be a dip, but also on the side, there's a stout syrup. So it's a kind of a twist on, you know, the dips or the sauces, but it's
a
all
stout
these different
syrup
types of flavors. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that call, Margaret. I wonder if, so we're thinking now, I guess, about the dips and spreads of breakfast meals.
Well, gravy, you know, is a classic dip.
It's one that generally takes over the dish, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
You're dipping your toast in it, I guess.
Or you're
even
drowning.
An egg yolk, I guess.
You're drowning your biscuits in it.
Yeah, except, you know, gravy, that this kind of gravy in particular tends to be kind of bland, but... Yeah, I guess it's a dip. A jalapeno gravy sounds interesting. I'd like to try that.
The shrimp and grits at Graham and Dunn, they have a jalapeno gravy. It's quite good.
Sounds good.
You know, we're getting some people letting us know in response to Bonjwing's query about avocado toast. Multiple people have seen it at First Watch.
Okay.
It says First Watch in Independence from one person and First Watch in Fairway from another. So it sounds like maybe that might be chain-wide.
Okay.
You know, when you were talking about Australian imports, I was thinking of that infamous one. Is it Vegemite?
Vegemite, yeah.
I can't bring myself to
based
eat it.
Based on the British Marmite.
What is it?
It's a
salty sort of yeast, right?
Yeah, it's a yeast.
Do people use it as a sandwich spread?
Spread, yes, absolutely. That is a spread, actually.
Well, and in France, it's now everywhere, but they started with Nutella.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's is Italian or French? But either way, that's also a spread, sure. But yeah, Vegemite and Marmite are these two sort of extremely salty yeast-based spreads. They're dark and pasty.
They sound horrible. Are they?
I actually like it. It's basically, I mean, in a way, it kind of tastes like MSG in a paste form. It's if you like salt. I can understand how it might turn people off.
Can we talk about tapenades? Because those are among my favorites on a bruschetta or even on a sandwich, like that spread that goes on a muffaletta. That is a muffaletta without it, and it makes the sandwich.
It does.
Talk to me about tapenades.
You know, a muffuletta is another great sandwich that I don't see it often enough. I know they had one at Happy Gillis for a while. I haven't seen it on the menu in a while. But
doesn't that sort of cycle in and out there?
Yeah, they might cycle in and out. But yeah, tapenade, I've not seen that on a sandwich here in Kansas City recently.
I make it
or
at home,
else.
But I don't see it out much.
How do you make it at home?
Well, it's basically olives and capers, a lot of garlic,
food
olive
processor.
Oil. Yeah, food processor, definitely.
Well,
and
let's hear
some herbs.
Let's hear very quickly from Rick in Kansas City. Rick, we're on our way out, but what do you recommend?
Good morning. Thank you for the call. No, there were two things I think you've forgotten that are quite indicative of my growing up. One is chili. It's a spread. It's a dip, and it's a full meal depending on how you serve it.
So that's chili.
And chopped chicken liver.
Chopped?
As a spread.
Chopped chicken liver. That is one that used to be so popular. Any quick recommendations for where to get chopped chicken liver that you can spread on some toast?
Well, Local Pig has everything. And of course, chicken liver mousse and all those.
I would love to know because I love chicken.
Penny pâtés are spreadable.
We'll keep talking about that piece of it. And on Twitter, you can discuss chopped chicken liver at KCURCST. You can discuss other dips and spreads there, too. I want to thank our guests, Charles Ferruza of The Pitch, Mary Block of Around the Block, and Bonjuing Lee, the Ulterior Epicure. This has been fun, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Thanks to everyone for the great suggestions. We're going to have a comprehensive list of Kansas City's favorite dips and spreads posted to our website later today at kcur.org. You can subscribe to our podcast, hear this conversation again, or access any of our previous shows by going to kcur.org/centralstandard. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. Tune in Monday to meet some major players in Kansas City's experimental theater scene. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross, with Fridays by Jen Chen. Linda Scher runs the board for us. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.